In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
Whoa, Black Sabbath coming back here. War Pigs. R.I.P. to Ozzy Osbourne. Who?
How old was he?
79, I think.
76.
Close.
Rude, Matt.
He
looked about... Never mind.
Yeah.
Obviously a famous singer. He's got a viral clip of arguably one of the worst, but Slash, it was... He got cheers, 7th inning stretch at Wrigley Field, because he just kind of mumbled his way through it. I sent it to the group chat. Maybe we'll play that a little bit later.
I've seen that one before.
Do your Ozzy Osbourne impression right now.
Sharon!
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I don't
hate it. I can't do one right
I'll
now.
I'll be honest. The main reason I played this bum as a bum song was because I thought it'd be fitting for Jim's conversation with our guest coming up here.
What's the song called?
Are we pigs?
War pigs? Come on. We're going to battle here, right, Jim?
We're not. We're going to be joined by Dom Catronio, and he is from our WTMJ team pre- and post-game show for the Milwaukee Brewers. And Dom, thanks for hopping on, and I saw you hopped on to a tweet that's gone insane on social media right now, so thanks for joining us.
Look, we all make mistakes. We all are hucking takes 24/7. Not all of them are going to land. It's all good. Like, this is, I think you've been introduced. What I've found... You know, in my little corner of the Brewers world for these last five seasons is like the moment the Brewers get into the national conversation, and obviously us here in Wisconsin understand it, but just like the moment it gets into the national conversation, it's like every Brewers fan wants to find every take possible and tell everybody why they're wrong. So it's kind of a bad way to live life, but I think it's going to be all okay. We got, you know, 9 more days until the trade deadline, and it's going to be stressful, but... No, I would not trade Freddy Peralta for Eugenio Suarez. Let's just get that out of the way.
So, setting it up, it was more of a thought exercise. So I'm going to kind of walk you through how we got to the thought exercise. And one, my big take with the Brewers is that historically they are in the prospect acquisition business, not the business of trading prospects. Is that kind of a fair statement? Even at the trade deadline throughout, they are more about trying to fill their queue of players because the way they operate on the budget they're given to from Mark Antanasio, they need prospects like future stocks to be able to have players to backfill when they have to move on from Devin Williams or Corbin Burns or all those sorts of things.
Yeah, because the reason they do that is because they would rather, you know, do these little incremental small moves as opposed to a full-blown Astros-style tear down. Now, the Astros are the poster child of what can go right when you tear it all down. But the Pirates and the Nationals and the Rockies and the may I go on are the list of what happens if it goes wrong. So the Brewers are never going to be a team that tears it all the way down to the studs since, you know, David Stearns took over in 2015. But with the way that we see it right now is when it comes to the prospect capital the Brewers have, they're a top five farm system in the game right now. So you have to leverage that into, well, do you become prospect huggers or understand that there are pieces that they can deal from? I talked to people within the Brewers organization that were shocked at the vitriol when the Yoferi Rodriguez trade went out to receive Quinn Priester. They were shocked that people thought that highly of Yoferi, given the fact that he was probably not even in their top 8 on their depth chart at the time of the trade. So it's just like there's always people that know more than you and I, and I think I'm going to trust people that have been doing this for the last 10 years of making this work in Milwaukee because it's the most successful window of baseball we've ever seen in Milwaukee.
So the second part of it was, and this is a compliment to the Brewers, they're loaded. They're loaded with starting pitching. There's a ton of talent. There's talent still in the minors that can come be called back up. They have proven talent. They have Miz. They have Woodruff. They have Quintana. They have Priester. They have Patrick. Like, they have a lot of arms. So I wasn't positioning this as like a hater type give up trade. I think the Brewers, if you look at some of the peripherals, like, they need a bat that hits the ball hard that can help the entire lineup. And third base to be a position. So, like, these type of trades don't happen in general. And, yes, a rental for a guy who you get a full season extra from with Peralta, like, that's not an equal. But that's kind of how we kicked it around, was more of like, hey, the Brewers have a position of strength with pitching, and they need a bat, and you could probably move Durbin around and do some things in the infield to still get him at bats and maybe spell Ortiz some way with some of the players you have. So that was kind of how we got there. It's not, it was more a thought exercise than like a true, the Brewers should make that trade, because those trades don't happen in baseball.
Well, furthermore, I think, like, to give you credit a little bit too, I think you got done a little dirty by the cutoff. Like, sorry, Ryan, you got done a little dirty of like what the whole segment was all about. But I think, like, as we all react rationally to stuff like this when it comes to Freddy Peralta in particular, right? Because he is such a franchise stalwart, he took the deal when he took it. He's become the opening day starter. He's grown up in our eyes from Brace Face in his debut to now a dad of two. So I think that struck a nerve too. But on the thought exercise front of it, I think what baseball people are very defensive, and they're very defensive of like, how dare you not understand? They need multiple years of control. They need all, like, we can all take a deep breath. Like, Freddie's only got one more year of control too. And personally, I would not trade Freddy Peralta, because of the quality of production is far exceeding the $8 million he's guaranteed, which is why I would never consider that personally. Now, I know Brewers fans like to latch onto a tweet and say, oh yeah, they're going to trade him because this is what they do to everybody. Like, the reason why they traded those guys is because they got too expensive. Freddie is cost controlled for $8 million, and then there's bonus incentive to make it up to $9 million. You keep that in your house if he's going to throw 200 innings, 200 strikeouts once again and make 33 starts. You keep that because that guy costs a lot more than $9 million on the open market. That being said, you're right, Jim. They do have a ton of pitching, and that is the most valuable commodity in baseball. Young, controllable pitching. There are three guys in the Brewers bullpen right now that could be big league starters any other team in the big leagues. Tobias Myers, Aaron Ashby, D.L. Hall.
Yep.
That's the kind of surplus the Brewers are dealing with. Oh, by the way, Nestor Cortez is one more rehab start away from coming back. You've got Chad Patrick in AAA. You've got studs in AAA, in AA even, too. So that's where the core they're going to be dealing from. It's not the big league, like, all right, Clint Priester, you're sitting. Those guys are sticking. It's who of these young guys are they going to dangle and say, ooh, you want this kid, he could turn out to be really good. And that's how you get somebody like Suarez back.
All right, you're Matt Arnold. What's your move to get Suarez?
I think that the move has to be, you know, the analogy I've been saying is you got to break an egg to make an omelet. You're going to give up something you really like. And quite frankly, Logan Henderson has come up. Tobias Myers has come up. We all know what they can do in the big league level. That being said, it's going to take someone like that, someone that is at or near big league ready to take that leap. It's not going to be some 19-year-old lottery pick that you don't know what you're getting. The Diamondbacks are going to be searching for somebody who is big league ready. And in the case of Matt Arnold, he is able to oblige on that trade, unlike other teams. So it's going to come from that circle of the following of any of those studs between the bullpen and AAA. And furthermore, honestly, if you got to sweeten the deal and talk about relievers, if you got to talk about somebody like a Brian Hudson, if you got to talk about somebody like a Craig Yoho, I know he's a darling of fans, but the Diamondbacks are going to be looking for bullpen too. So these are the deals that you deal from a surplus, which is why the Brewers have been able to sustain this monster for so many years.
Dom, so we heard Jeff Passan just a couple weeks ago on Wildy and Tausch say that he believes that the Brewers are one big bat away from being World Series contenders, right? Do you actually think, like, I've heard what you've said so far, but do you actually think that the Milwaukee Brewers will actually make a move in order to be World Series contenders? Because based on their history, they don't.
I think the thing that we all react to as fans is it's a binary reaction. They did or they didn't make the move. And now my entire opinion has changed because they did or they didn't make the move. We are not in the room of how many times the phone is picked up and trying to exchange names, trying to get to the finish line. This stuff comes down to the wire. Literally, this is how it's going to go. You know, Matt Arnold's going to pick up the phone to Mike Hazen, the general manager of the Diamondbacks, and say, hey, I've got X, Y, and Z for you. And Mike's going to be like, I'll get back to you. Then Mike Hazen's going to pick up the phone and call Brian Cashman of the New York Yankees, like, hey, the Brewers are offering X, Y, Z. What can you do? And then Brian Cashman says, well, I got A, B, C, and D. Okay, give me a sec. Called Matt Arnold. Well, now the Yankees are doing A, B, C, and D. So that's how this is going to go. In my opinion, I don't think the Brewers are going to get Suarez. I just don't see the Brewers making that move, given how quality Durbin has been, given how quality this team has started to really look in these last 11 games for obvious reasons. I think the priority right now for the Brewers and the easiest way to make sure this doesn't happen is make sure the Cubs don't get him. But you never know, because it's Wrigley. The wind could be blowing in every day that he's playing at home. He's a Deadpool hitter. Honestly, like, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would say the odds are against the Brewers because the price is so high and there are so many teams involved in this. The Mariners, the Yankees, the Cubs, obviously, the Padres, the Tigers. I mean, seven teams are going to be in on this bidding. So it is going to get very, very stressful in these next 9 days.
All right, Dom. So let's play my game again. You're Matt Arnold again. What's the move going forward? Are you saying, hey, you know what? We're actually pretty good. If this hitting can keep up, we can be a contender. Or, you know what? We got to go out. I don't think we can go and get Suarez from Arizona, but there are some other pieces. I can moneyball this. Like, what do you think is the most realistic move for the Brewers if you're Matt Arnold?
Yeah, offensively, there's just not a lot available this year, especially specifically a lot of people want to point to shortstop. But look, I just there's not what. Do you want Isaiah Kiner-Falefa from the Pirates, who's barely hitting higher than Joey Ortiz right now? So when it comes to like immediate, like, oh, snap your fingers and this will fix it on an offensive side, there's not that move aside from Suarez, and that creates the ripple effect of, well, what do you do with Durbin? Terang's not going to play short. I think a lot of people need to get that thought out of their mind. Terang's not going to move over to shortstop. His shoulder tried it in spring training. It did not work out. That being said, I think the Brewers are going to be savvy in their bullpen. A name that I'm going to talk about on my show on Thursday night is Pete Fairbanks. You know, the Rays are in this weird in-between of, are they contending or are they not? And we know the Rays will pull the plug fast. So Pete Fairbanks is their closer. You can move him to the 7th, 8th. He's another guy that can get righties out. He gets strikeouts. He throws 100. He fits right in with the rest of them. I really think that the Brewers are going to be savvy in their bullpen because you can never have enough bullpen. And furthermore, your bullpen gets longer in the playoffs because now you only need three starters. And you can imagine a three-headed monster of Peralta, Mizorowski, Woodruff, and then you get to throw Priester in the bullpen with Hall and Ashby, and maybe Yoho comes up. Like, you've got all of this option. So I think they're going to be savvy on the pitching front and keep riding it with the offense.
How much of, and obviously they're never going to kind of fully admit this, but if the Brewers want to compete, I mean, the Dodgers, some guys are going to get healthy. They're going to make moves. You mentioned the Cubs. Like, to keep up with the Joneses, and the Cubs are going to get some guys back in August that should add depth to their pitching. They got probably two starters coming back. Their starting catcher probably coming back as well. So, like, that will help them. The Dodgers are going to continue to make moves. The top teams will likely make moves. So, like, that's the part now where the Brewers are absolutely the hottest team in baseball, have a case to be the best team in baseball. But in the next 2 weeks, those teams could expand their rosters to be better or enhance their rosters. And the Brewers, they're going to feel pressure to probably do something, even if they do have a very good roster.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a time of year that can also sort of galvanize your clubhouse, where it's like, they believe in us, so they added to this big league club, right? I think of the ways that the Brewers, you know, some of these bullpen moves haven't worked out in the past. But then you look at last year, Nick Mears, a lot of people were really confused by that deal in August. And then come September and into October in game three, man, he nearly popped a blood vessel when he was walking off the mound striking out the side there. So I think that the Brewers understand that they are in a position that, A, the Cubs are really dang good. Like, let's make that very clear. The Cubs are really dang good. In fact, so I'm in Philly right now covering Red Sox Phillies for TBS. And I just had a conversation with Alex Cora. And leading there, he's like, the Cubs and you guys are the best two teams in the National League, and I don't think it's partially that close. The difference is that top four of the Cubs lineup can leave the yard at any given moment. Not quite the same for the Brewers. So then you go, you're like, well, go get Suarez. If it was that season, if that easy, it would already have happened. But at the end of the day, I really do think that this team is considered a top three team in the National League, which is shocking to think of Uncle Steve's money in New York and to think of the Guggenheim money in Los Angeles and even Philly here, you know, with what I'm staring with this payroll. It's pretty amazing. The power of friendship, right? In the words of Trevor McGill and the average Joe's in the words of Pat Murphy. So it's been really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think Pat's underselling his team. They're more than average Joe's, but it's good branding for him to sell them as the underdog and sell them as average Joe's. They're a very, very talented team. I would say above average Joe's at a bare minimum. Dom, thanks for coming on. Thanks for interacting with the tweet, and thanks for letting me clear the air on a little thing that went way more viral than I was at all expecting. This is literally a conversation.
They
were
all my burner accounts, Jim. Don't worry about it.
My brother's like a diehard Brewers fan. This is like just like we were golfing on Sunday and we were just kind of talking through some things. And like, and that was one of the things we were just kind of kicking around like you would with your friends. So,
and another thing. And wait a second. Let me get back. Like that's how it's been in your mentions right now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Dom, thanks for hopping on.
Thank you, guys.
All right. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. Look, I'll be honest. I needed a workout today. I went to Carbon World Health. Just worked out the, not aggression, but like more the stress of the first time you open up your phone and you're like, whoa, what did I do?
I'm
and I was,
popular.
And then I was like, oh, good. I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I was like, all right, this is fine. but then I went to Carbon World Health, had a great workout, and then you can obviously talk to them about cryotherapy. They got a brand new cryotherapy at their Madison location. They obviously have lots of things that Molly's talked about with the med spa side of things. GLP-1s, they have hormone replacement treatment as well. So if you're not feeling like your normal self, go get a test from Dr. Nestor Rodriguez, see if your hormone levels are not good for your age, but see if they're optimal. You don't have to have less testosterone just because you're getting older. You can have testosterone levels from when you're in your 30s or your 20s when you're 45, 50, 55 years old. And nobody's stopping you from doing it. It's healthy to raise those back up. So talk to Nestor Rodriguez about that. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
That's I'm out.
Already,
I'm out on
Kelsey. Clipped apart, huh?
I'm out on Kelsey.
You
I don't like
Kelsey. Travis Kelsey.
I do.
God, if Jim
his
was
hair,
here.
His last name, everything. He'll be like, what? Him and Taylor Swift are great.
If Jim was here, he would just be screaming at the both of you.
Right? Literally.
Yeah. Oh
exactly.
My gosh, he would be losing
this
his mind.
This isn't even a question.
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.